You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome. We are back, the dynamic duo, for another podcast. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. And today is the special day where we're going to be talking basically all about the trade deadline. And you know what? We have a special topic to start out here. We're going to be talking about a couple different trades, but we're going to start out with talking about Karl Anthony Towns trades. And is this the time to sell on him? And really, Trey was the one who brought this about by asking the question, since Anthony Davis is the one getting sold, is this the time to bail on Towns and try and reset a little bit instead of avoiding that purgatory? Or do you push through, do you muscle through, and do you stick with what you've got? And I think it's actually a legitimate question. I know there's going to be some pushback, Trey, but I feel like it's a legitimate question.
Well, I totally understand the pushback. We're talking about a perennial superstar in Karl Anthony Towns, who is a once-in-a-generation talent. I know that phrase gets thrown around a lot, but he really is. I mean, we're talking about a guy who is going to be a potential Hall of Fame big man in this league. He has every tool that you would want, every intangible characteristic of a player that's going to succeed in the 21st century basketball. So it is tough to think that he could not be on this team. However, the trade market is showing us that teams are willing to buy huge on the bigs right now. Whether it's Anthony Davis or even Kristaps. And while people think New York definitely got, they got robbed with what they got back for Kristaps, Kristaps was out for a very long time with the ACL injury. We're talking about a very healthier version of Kristaps right now in Towns. And I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world to think of trade ideas for Towns when you look at teams like the Memphis Grizzlies, who we've talked about, who have Mike Conley and Marcus Gasol for the past 10 to 12 years, who have done great in the playoffs. They really have. They've really created a storm against really great teams in the playoffs. They've always been that gritty grind opponent, and they've been a real threat. But they've never done anything that is really going to last in the history of the basketball books, and they won't really be remembered other than having a gritty basketball team and having a good point guard that never went to an All-Star game, and then Marc Gasol being known for the center before his own time. So, that kind of team just makes me think of Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns. Obviously, that's depressing, but I think there is a conversation to be had there that if that is the team that we're talking about going into the future, that trade ideas for Towns aren't that crazy, Colton.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that people might get mad about the conversation, but it is a legitimate one because we have talked about this. There's a real kind of dark side to sitting at the ninth seed for the next 6 years because you're not getting draft picks that turn things around. Minnesota isn't a real destination for free agents, so that is a real possibility for the Timberwolves, and that's a real pain in the arse for a franchise. And so if you're talking about maybe possibly avoiding that, yeah, you've got to do something painful and maybe separate from some pieces. And while we're not saying with this show, we're not saying that this is necessarily the right move or that this is exactly what we want to see the Timberwolves do. This is a move in the books. And we're not even saying that we've heard rumors or rumblings that this might happen. We're just saying, think about a world where people are trading their best players to try and either reset for new pieces or to try and make themselves into a viable candidate because of a rebuild. Or you make themselves into a contender via rebuild, that is an option. It's maybe not the option for the Timberwolves, but that is something you have to look at with the trade deadline coming around and with a lot of reality staring the Timberwolves in the face right now.
Yeah, and not to mention, like, I'm not just, conjuring up trade ideas for Karl Anthony Towns for fun here. Like, I love Towns. He's a great player. He's shown us the past 2 months that he's here to stay. He's been very adamant about loving Minnesota. He's hilarious. He's the millennial that I want in the NBA for the future. He's honestly, he has the personality of the future of the NBA. where older adults don't really necessarily gel with his personality. The whole Fortnite thing is kind of getting old for older people. But I mean, I appreciate it. Like, I he knows who he is. He's very self-aware, and I like that about him. And he was pretty adamant about just not getting along with guys who were just outside of, you know, his own personality, like Jimmy Butler. And so if that's the future of the league, then we have a guy who's the future of the league. That's great. But if we're talking about the goal being winning a championship, this team is so cap constrained for the next 3 to 4 years. It's not just the fall of Andrew Wiggins or Karl Anthony Towns at all. Those are two players that really deserve the contracts at the time for sure. It was really tough with Wiggins too, because what else were you supposed to do there, right? You had to pull the trigger on that. It was really hard. And then if you're looking at the other guys on this team who have big contracts, like Jeff Teague's getting paid $19 million this year, next year. Gorgie Jang's getting paid $15 million for the next three seasons. Taj Gibson's currently getting paid $14 million. You're going to have to pay Dario Saric, not this summer, but next summer, up to $10 to $11 million, which is what Robert Covington's getting paid, $10 to $11 million over the next 4 years. So there's just a lot of unnecessary cap on this team. And you're essentially what we're saying is that Minnesota won't have cap to really sign a really good third player to really complete this trio, Wiggins and Towns, until they're both at least like 26, 27 years old, which is right in their prime, which is fantastic. But that's such wishful thinking that this Minnesota franchise is going to think about that 4 years down the road and try to wait out to sign another max guy. And most likely it's just not going to happen. So they need to figure out another way to get this team more complete and more and get rid of unnecessary cap. And even if it is doing what the Knicks did and putting Porzingis with some of their biggest cap guys to kind of get rid of that, to shed it, if that's the answer, then so be it, right, to make other decisions. The other tough thing about this is you have to get talent back in a trade, because Minnesota is not the hottest free agent bet, unfortunately. So you're going to have to get talent back. You're going to have to shed some cap and hopefully some assets in the form of picks too. So it's a really tough task, but I think this is a really interesting idea.
All right, so let's dive into a couple trades here. I know that you're chomping at the bit to get on this trade machine, so I'm going to let you go ahead.
Sure. So the first one I have, so Anthony Davis supposedly made his list of teams that he's interested, that he's interested in going to, and the Boston Celtics were not one of them. So I thought I'd start off this trade machine with a deal to Boston. They're really interested in replacing Al Horford. Obviously so. Like, he's a great player. And he's paired very well with Kyrie Irving and Brown and Tatum. The Hayward mix between the two of them has been kind of interesting. It hasn't been too fluid. And obviously it's mostly Hayward's fault. But even Horford this year has took a dip in production, which is to be expected. Horford's a great player. He's, you know, an all-star. He's a defensive guy. He's definitely an IQ guy, high IQ. He always takes advantage of Towns in the post when need be. So I thought that Boston wanted to replace Horford with Davis, and that was pretty apparent through yesterday with Roach tweets. So let's switch that up a little bit. Let's send Kat over to Boston. So in this deal, I have the Boston Celtics swapping Al Horford, Jason Tatum, Markieff Morris for the Minnesota Timberwolves, Karl Anthony Towns, Jeff Teague's cap, and Anthony Tolliver. In this case, the Celtics get a backup point guard to let Terry Rozier go to Kyrie Irving and Jeff Teague, which is fine for next season. Anthony Tolliver to replace Markieff Morris, who they're not going to be able to re-sign this summer in Boston Celtics. They cannot re-sign Morris. And Al Horford, they get a huge replacement in Karl Anthony Towns. Boston really wanted to fight for Anthony Davis. They tried to fight a little bit for Kristaps. They couldn't do either. And to be honest, Karl Anthony Towns is an improvement over Porzingis right now. So to have that lineup for the future in Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, and Karl Anthony Towns, I think Boston would be pretty happy with that, even if they're losing Jason Tatum. And in this case, it's just, you know, and I'm hoping a couple firsts in here too for Minnesota. In this case, we have Jason Tatum to, if they want to, pair next to Andrew Wiggins and then play Horford at the five, and then they can cut him next summer if need be, if they don't want to sign him long term. But obviously the why you do this, if you're Minnesota, is Tatum. If you really are enamored with Tatum's play and you think he's going to be an all-star, then you might want to pull the trigger to save some cap and maybe get a few firsts to pull next to Wiggins if you want to retrade him again.
I like this trade for a couple reasons. I really like Jason Tatum, and so I would like having him on the team. I like that if you get Marcus Morris and you decide to stick with him, you potentially get a guy who's a really defensive bulldog, which I don't think the Timberwolves just have right now. And I think you'd pair really well with Robert Covington. I also think this is a good trade because I think that the Celtics definitely do that because I can see them at least contending for a finals with Towns on their team. I mean, you throw Towns at bigger lineups that like the Raptors have, or you throw them at Cousins, you throw a Towns at Cousins and Durant with the Warriors. I mean, that's just great matchups. The one thing that Boston might have some pause with is that the poison pill factor of Towns, and that might mess up their books next year. And they've been really careful with their books, and they've got to re-sign Kyrie. And so the poison pill might be the biggest problem they have with the Towns trade.
Yeah, and I was hoping that maybe this would entice Kyrie to stay. I guess it just matters how much Kyrie loves playing with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And if he likes playing with them more than Karl-Anthony Towns. Because originally in this trade, I had Brown being sent to Minnesota, and I had like three or four firsts to Minnesota. That was the idea. And then I thought, why not just swap in Tatum and just send over a first instead of the three? So like that was kind of the original idea with this. And if that maybe was the deal too on the table, I think that's still something to consider if you're Minnesota. Not because I really love Jaylen Brown so much, but I just think there's a lot of players on this team ranging from Gorgie Jang to Andrew Wiggins, who if you could pair with some firsts, you can get them off and to save cap in a complete rebuild mode. But yeah, I definitely hear you on Boston's questions for their cap moving forward. So that one will be a little scary. I'm like more 75-25 on this deal. 75% I like it, but I'm a little nervous, especially because you're probably higher on Tatum than I am. But I just know how popular it is, so I had to throw him in this one. But what do you got, Colin? What's your first one?
All right, so I have a three-team trade. This is my one trade that doesn't involve a ton of young guys for the Timberwolves. But so here's my three-team trade. So the Timberwolves are getting Blake Griffin, Goran Dragic, and Bam Adebayo. The Detroit Pistons are getting Karl-Anthony Towns and Dion Waiters. And the Miami Heat are getting Andrew Wiggins and Jeff Teague.
Oof, this is good.
So here's right off the top. Right off the top, you say Karl-Anthony Towns and Andre Drummond, that doesn't make sense. Well, remember when Cousins went to the New Orleans Pelicans and then they had Anthony Davis at the four and all of a sudden everybody was like, whoa, not only is this crazy good, but Anthony Davis is playing lights out at the four. This is a crazy lineup that people can't combat, and this is going to be awesome for years to come. And then you have Blake Griffin, who you can play at the five, but really is a power forward, and you can play point blank Griffin, and everybody loves point Griffin. And now people are starting to see point Towns, and everybody loves point Towns. And maybe if you run Towns at the power forward, there's this four spot Towns that you're unlocking, and you can run on the offense through Towns. And now you're taking on Dion Waiters, you're getting an extra shooter, which is what the Pistons need, and you're getting him off the books for the Heat. The Heat are getting a young guy in Wiggins to pair with guys like Richardson, with guys like Winslow, and then you're giving them Jeff T. And the Timberwolves are getting a different look at point guard in Gorgon. You're getting a young guy at center still in Bam Adebayo, and you're getting a young guy on the books after taking off two max contracts with Bam Adebayo there for 3 years. The Pistons have plenty of money after Towns' contract takes a jump next year because they're getting Blake Griffin off the books. And the Timberwolves still can win games now because you're putting Blake Griffin on a team with some veterans and some young guys. But you're also getting a young piece there in Bam Adebayo that's there for a few years. And you have a superstar still in Blake Griffin that's there for a few years. So this is the one where you're not selling on the future right now, but you're still acquiring assets.
Colin, you just made a trade after my own heart. You did it. Goran Dragic is, God in my mind in basketball world. He's literally the one of the biggest reasons I fell in love with basketball. I think I've already told the story in the podcast, so I won't tell it again. But he's amazing. So I would love to have Goran on this team. I like this deal overall for Detroit and Miami. Oddly enough, I might like it more than Minnesota's return, which is weird. But I like Detroit a lot because they get to move cap here, and Andre and Blake. But the issue I might have with the Minnesota deal is just, funnily enough, it is maybe the contracts moving forward. I don't have in front of me what Blake is going to be making over the next 4 to 5 years, but I think he's going to be in the $34 to $35 million range. So that's fairly tough. And obviously Dragic will be a free agent in 2020. So they're going to have more leeway there on the contracts to move guys around. So I do like that. And then Bam Adebayo, he has a lot of upside. Everything everybody is saying with John Collins right now in Atlanta and him being the most improved player of the year, one of them, I think you'll see from Bam over the next year or two without the three-point shot. I think he won't be able to shoot a three for a very long time. But he is definitely going to be a threat on both ends of the floor and a real threat against any opponent in the next 2 years. So I love that move, and I love him as a placement next to Blake Griffin. So this is a fun deal. I really like this one a lot. How long did it take you to come up with a three-team trade there? Because I got nervous to do that for a while.
It took me about an hour, honestly. And the other thing, too, is that Bam Adebayo, he's on a $3 million contract for 3 years. Griffin is going to be making 30-some million instead of two max contracts. And Goran Dragic is a little cheaper than Teague. And so at the end of the day, you are saving some cap space for next summer. There is some wiggle room there, especially if you can get Gorgie off the books this summer. But this one is one of those where I'm getting young talent back, even though I'm losing young talent, and I'm getting a superstar still. So I think that you can still keep winning with this team, and you're just shaking stuff up. You're just getting a couple more assets. You're clearing out some cap space, maybe getting a couple draft picks. And so that was the main goal for this one, is to stay winning. We got more Towns trades, and then we're going to talk about just smart moves for the Timberwolves at the trade deadline. First, let's take a break for sponsors. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, talking about the trade deadline. I'm going to throw my trade out here next, just because the next couple of trades I have are just Towns for young assets. And here's one that I thought was actually kind of interesting. You throw out Towns to the Charlotte Hornets, give Kemba Walker a reason to play there, and the Timberwolves get Malik Monk and Bridges, Miles Bridges.
Ooh, I like this because I'm actually pretty high on Malik Monk. Bridges is going to be a good basketball player too. I like that there wasn't any crazy cap thrown in here. I didn't really want to do a swap of Jang and Kidd Gilchrist or anything like that, or Marvin Williams. So I'm glad you didn't do that, because I was looking at this trade too. I actually did not make one Charlotte trade that didn't include Kemba, but ultimately I thought Kemba would not stay in Minnesota. So I'm glad that you went the other way around with it and got Bridges in here, which I did not think about. That's a good move. I like that a lot. That kind of leaves Minnesota with, I guess, Jang at the five and then back up with Sarge. So that would be the only position issue here. I really do like the idea of pairing those three together, though, and Monk, Wiggins, and Bridges. I feel like that's a good small ball lineup that they could use in the future. And Gorgie's not old or anything, so like that would be fun at him at the five too. So I definitely like that move. When it comes to young guys, I'm all about that. So that's a good idea.
I was just envisioning a bunch of fast lineups with Dario Saric at the five, and then you run Malik Monk, Bridges, Josh Okogie, and Derrick Rose out there together with Dario Saric at the five and just try and run.
I mean, that would be the future, right? Like Tyus Jones, Josh Okogie, you got Bridges, you got Monk, and you got Dario. And that's not even including Wiggins. So, like, that's a lot of young talent right there. That's quick talent. And most of all, Colton, those are just really cheap assets besides Andrew Wiggins I just named, but, like, those four or five guys. If they wanted to make another move a year from now, like those are really good names to make a move with. And I'm assuming Charlotte will throw a first or two in here. So like that's just more to add on top of that. So I definitely like this one a lot. All right, I'm gonna counter with another one to you. I have two trades with young assets that are cap, just complete cap killers, where I just throw all of our cap over to other teams for young assets. But I'm gonna give you one trade that maybe you'll just make us more talented. Or the same talent right now. It's up to you. I'll let you decide on this one. But I'm sending Gorgui Dieng and Karl-Anthony Towns to the Portland Trail Blazers for CJ McCollum, Yusuf Nurkic, and Zach Collins. And a few firsts. What are your thoughts?
I mean, that's quite a move. I do love Zach Collins. I'm not going to lie to you. I really do.
Yeah, he'd be fun as a stretch four.
And that's interesting because Portland, I don't know a scenario where Portland doesn't do that.
Yeah, they really want to shake things up. I mean, did any of the listeners just see them essentially trade for another Evan Turner-like player and just send over 2 second-round picks to Cleveland for no reason, Rodney Hood? Like, I like Rodney Hood and everything, but they're just wasting draft picks over there in Portland. They're just trying to make any move possible.
I would need, like, a first pick from Portland for the next, like, 2 or 3 years.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
I have another one. We talked about the Clippers and how they need an all-star to be a difference maker and to stay in this playoff race. And so we give them that all-star in Karl-Anthony Towns, and we get back Jerome Robinson, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah, I like Harrell a lot, so I love this idea. He's cheap. You know, Shai is going to be really good in this league. He's really, really good. I think Kevin Durant said on Bill Simmons' podcast that he thinks he's going to be the best rookie out of that draft, which is really crazy to say. So I like this move a lot. I think this fills a lot of holes for Minnesota's team. Unfortunately, I think it really just comes down to that center position. Every trade I've made, it just feels like there's just such a huge loss at the center, obviously, for obvious reasons. It's Karl-Anthony Towns, but it's just weird because it's really hard to get back similar talent. Like, that's kind of like what I tried to do with Yosef Nurkic, because it's hard to get back a similar talent and then add talent elsewhere too, because talent's just so good, man. But I like that one a lot in the sense that you're getting high talent paired with younger talent on cheap deals. So that was a really good idea. I like that.
I know it's just estimates and none of this is perfect, but it was weird for me that in this trade, this had the least projected losses, less losses in this one. Like, for the Blake Griffin trade, the Timberwolves were projected 5 less losses. For the Charlotte trade, the Timberwolves were projected 11 less losses. In this trade, they're projected 2 less losses. I think that tells you something about the young guys you're getting back.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of going with. I kind of took that Hollinger's analysis on the ESPN trade machine there, and that's why I kind of pulled the trigger on the Portland one. There was like a -1 win to Portland's -5. So that was kind of like my thought process with that too. But that's interesting. I think it's mostly because the advanced analytics are in such Shai's and Harrell's hands right there that they're just one of the 2 of the better advanced analytic players that'll just constantly improve your team without anybody really noticing, which is kind of funny. Okay, so these last 2 deals that I conjured, they won't really make any listener too happy, mostly because I'm completely cutting cap and 2 of our highest paid players for the next 5 years.
You're pulling a Knicks.
Yeah, I'm pulling a straight up Knicks, and hopefully people can just take a deep breath, think about it, and think of the possibility of future assets down the road, and hopefully just have no more nightmares of being the Memphis Grizzlies. Okay. So my first one is with the Sacramento Kings. We're trading Andrew Wiggins, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Luol Deng as a cap filler to Sacramento. And we get back, in Minnesota, we get back Marvin Bagley, Willie Cauley-Stein, Buddy Hield, and Zach Randolph. And most likely 2 first-round picks. What are your thoughts here?
I mean, Marvin Bagley, I think, is the rookie I like the least out of this draft.
Yeah, that's the hardest part. I was trying to get a top 5 pick in there in this deal.
The problem is I would way rather have, like, Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, if you're going to get – I don't even know if Memphis would even trade Jaren Jackson for Anthony Davis right now. They're crazy high on him. It's insane. I mean, understandably.
Yeah, like, that's the thing is, like, Trae Young, Luka, Jaren Jackson, all those are guys I would really rather have, and the Kings and Marvin Bagley. I know that he's had some really good games and some really solid outings, and he's been kind of quiet about putting together his season, but there's just nothing that's really crazy impressed me yet. And there's just, he's had, and I know they're kind of restricting his minutes and they're not playing him a crazy ton of minutes, and there's a purpose for that, but I don't know. I expected him to, I expected him, even in his rookie season, to like have moments where he takes over games. And I just feel like he doesn't really have many of those moments. And like Luka, like, well, you can say what you want about Trae Young. Trae Young takes over games at some points. There's at least 6 or 7 times where, as a rookie, he has taken over a game. And you can say the same. There's moments where Jaren Jackson takes over a game. There's moments where Luka definitely takes over games. And I just don't feel that way about Bagley.
Yeah, this one was tough. Ultimately, I came to the conclusion that I needed a team to take Wiggins and Towns and essentially do a, not a talent swap, but kind of a cap swap here. And the Kings have been very adamant about loving Andrew Wiggins and loving his talents. And his cap is probably they're probably one of the only teams to take that contract for the next 5 years. And Towns is obviously, you know, the cherry on top here. Like, who can you give back for that? And they don't really have the talent currently to give anything back for that. They're not going to move De'Aaron Fox for Karl-Anthony Towns. So any listener that wants Fox, that's not happening. Arguably, I think that Kings would argue that Fox is going to be a better player than Towns than both of their careers. That's how high they are on Fox. And he's a really good player. I don't watch Kings tape every night, so obviously I can't give my full-on analysis on him. But he's one of my favorite players. I would have took him first overall in that draft with, you know, freaking Markel Fultz, but whatever. But I don't think they're going to give Fox up in this one. I love Buddy Hield. I love Cauley-Stein in the interim because he's definitely not going to re-sign in Minnesota. And Marvin Bagley's just kind of a project, and you kind of just save cap here in 2020, and you have $75, $80 million off the books that you can just move around with and see what you can get. The problem here is they're probably going to end up signing like long-term contracts to guys like Aaron Gordon or Jabari Parker, for example, like players like that, not those two specific players. And that's the problem in Minnesota. If they do move their two big cap guys, who's realistically going to come there? Who's the pool, right? So ultimately, I do definitely agree with you. This is just an idea to move the cap. My last idea to move the cap, the only other one I could really find, and just so the listeners know, this trade idea that we're doing, all these cap movers with Wiggins and Towns, it isn't really just to get back linear talent, but it's also to show you that it's very difficult to move these two players to kind of get anything back. But this is another reason why I'm sending both of them to their Orlando Magic, who would probably love to have both Wiggins and Towns, obviously. Haven't been in the playoffs in years. But Minnesota gets back Nikola Vucevic, Jonathan Isaac, Mo Bamba, and Jonathan Simmons. And again, probably a few firsts. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's another one where you're getting back a bunch of young talent and you're offering up a team that's not very good a chance to jump. And again, those one of those trades where you're probably going to need a first-round pick from them as well. And you're damaging your first-round pick by trading them Towns and Wiggins a little bit. But if you're the Timberwolves, they have their first-round pick. You get a first-round pick from somebody else. Maybe you're able to trade into like the top that like 12 to 13 range by offering somebody a couple picks in the mid-rounds. In the middle of that first round to kind of get into that lottery, the back end of that lottery. And so, again, this is about young talent, young guys moving forward, and just kind of embracing the tank a little bit.
For sure. And that's something I really haven't talked about, so it's a good point. All these draft picks I keep adding to the end of these deals, most likely a 2019 unprotected is what you're going to want from one of these teams. Minnesota's sitting around the 14th to 15th slot right now, what their pick is going to be. And if you can get a team that's in the top 10, top 8, around that area, you're pretty set because you can make a deal with both those picks, kind of like what Sacramento did to get De'Aaron Fox, trading two of their high mid-tier picks to get the 5th pick in the draft. You know, Minnesota could do something very similar in this case, and getting a bunch of young guys and adding more young talent in the 2019 draft, and it's not very deep, or 2020 draft, but it's, or sorry, 19 draft, it's not very deep, but it's still fairly good in the 5 to 7 projections. So if they can get in there, that'd be set. They'd be good set for this next year with young guys. But again, all these trades, the reason they're including all these young guys, it's just tough to move both caps. The obvious outlier here for Minnesota is Andrew Wiggins. And if we did an Andrew Wiggins podcast, I think that would take longer. The Karl-Anthony Towns, there's not a lot of options to move him, mostly because some teams don't even need that 0.5 center. Like, they have such a complete basketball team. And obviously they're not willing to give up some of their rookies. Like, I think Boston would be hesitant just to move Jason Tatum for Towns, which is pretty crazy. But some teams are just so high on their young guys, and I think it's really because they haven't done what Minnesota's done. They've already paid Towns the max, and he starts getting paid next year on that contract. And some of these teams who are enamored with their rookies don't realize how much of their cap is going to be constrained once they pay those highly touted rookies like Tatum or second-year players like Tatum or Mitchell, whomever, the max. Because once they get the max, those teams are pretty constrained for the next 5 to 7 years.
You're absolutely right. We're going to take another break for some sponsors, and then we're going to talk about why we're even bringing this up in the first place. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, we've been talking about the trade deadline. Why talk about moving our best player? Obviously, we don't hate Towns. We love Towns on this show. We're big Towns guys. We're big Towns fans. But why talk about this? Well, again, it's the trade deadline, and obviously this is kind of an interesting subject when you have guys like Anthony Davis and Porzingis on the block, so that's part of it. But the other part of it, too, is that this is something that maybe should be on more people's radar, and not even just for this year, but just over the next couple of years. If 2 years from now, if the Timberwolves are staring in the same spot where they're kind of in that 10th, 11th seed, and their best they can do maybe is 9th, and you can't even crack the playoffs, there's a real discussion about, is it worth trying to contend and falling one or two slots short year after year, or is it better to blow up the team and try and just rebuild, bring in some new assets? And I don't think it happens this year because, again, you've got these young players who you still really love in Towns and Wiggins, and you've got a new head coach who's an interim in Ryan Saunders, and a new coach potentially next year coming in. So you're going to have a lot of change and maybe a lot shaking up, and that could be causing some differences in how you play and how this team performs. But over the next couple of years, if you're stuck in that kind of 11-10 range outside the Western Conference playoffs, that's a real conversation where maybe blowing this up is truly the best option to staying outside of the playoffs but not getting into that lottery year after year after year. And so this is a conversation that's probably happening 2 years too soon, but is a conversation that you kind of have to have on your brain if you're a Timberwolves fan.
For sure. And again, I'm just kind of relay what you just said. Like, I'm a huge fan of Towns, obviously. I mean, we do this podcast every morning. He's one of our favorite players, both of ours. Like, I mean, we talk highly about him every day. And moving him, as depressing as it is, if you look at this without emotion, if you look at the past 10 years in the NBA, there's been a lot of deals that have sent their centers elsewhere to kind of start over. Whether it's LA with, Shaq, or if it's Atlanta with Al Horford, who had a really good basketball team, Atlanta and Millsap, Horford. They had our own Jeff Teague and Lou Williams. They had a really complete team there. They sent Horford elsewhere to kind of start over. And then you move on to, Sacramento, who moved on from DeMarcus Cousins, only 2 years older than Towns is now, which is pretty crazy, to just kind of start over in the future. And if you look at Atlanta now, they're one of the most, if you listen to any blog boy, every blog boy will tell you, especially on The Ringer, if you listen to any of their podcasts, this is not a plug, but if you listen to any of their podcasts,
not a sponsor,
they love the Atlanta Hawks. They think the Hawks are going to be like a top 8 team in the East next season. And we've already done a podcast on here where we've kind of already talked about that. Maybe the Hawks are the team of the future. And so I definitely see that in them. And that's just giving you an example of what it takes to move cap and kind of move on. And Sacramento is the best example, right? They moved on from DeMarcus Cousins, obviously for different reasons, but they still moved on from a guy that there was their once in a generation superstar talent. That they would probably never, ever see again for draft picks and for assets and like Buddy Hield. And that draft pick, one of them at least, turned into De'Aaron Fox, right? Now their current heralded superstar that is completely changing their franchise. They got Bogdanović. Like, they're more complete now. They kept Cauley-Stein. They gave him more minutes. They realized he's a middle to above average tier center that's been playing very well on their high-paced basketball team. So it's just these kind of examples, these micro examples that are kind of showing you that maybe moving a couple guys who are really cap-constrained you over the past and moving on to the NBA where max contracts might minimize instead of getting crazy high how they've been, like John Wall high and Blake Griffin high, and trying to, get out of this current pay-my-superstar-whatever-they-want league that we're in right now, because it's just so crazy to be a team right now that has two high-paid players, the highest paid you can be at in their moment, and move on and try to be a top-five team in their respective conference. And if you just look at these teams in the past and what they've done, there's definitely good examples of what you can do. The alternative to that is you trade two of your best players and then you get no free agents, even though you have all the cap room in the world, right? Like if MSG, if the New York Knicks don't sign Kevin Durant or Kemba Walker, or Kyrie Irving, whomever this summer, any all-star, they're going to burn MSG to the ground in New York.
Right? Yeah.
Like, they're going to be so angry that they traded Kristaps, their once-in-generational talent, just like Karl Anthony Towns, and didn't get anybody.
Yeah.
And if that happens in the same light to Minnesota, if that happens with Towns or Wiggins or both of them, you could see Minnesota fans doing the very same thing, especially with the past 15 years that we've had history in playoffs. So it's a hard game to play right now, Colton. It's difficult because you can see all these teams like Sacramento and Atlanta and see that what they have in the future, and you can assume how they're going to be and how much fun they are, and fans are coming to games more now. And then you look at Minnesota, you're like, we kind of already did that and got Towns and Wiggins, and maybe it's not working, but we also don't want to be like the Miami Heat in this example and have 10 players with $10 million each, making $10 million each. So it's tough. It's really tough.
It is, but you made a great comparison there with the Hawks. And let's face it, if memory serves, it took them like 4 years to build up that team, and they had 60 wins, and then it was like 2 years afterwards they didn't have any starters left from that 60 win team, and that was a team that was not only still pretty good, but they were like winning playoff series and stuff, but they knew that they couldn't win a championship. And so they sold on those guys over the next couple of years after a 60-win season where they were one of the best teams in the East. They sold on that team and over the next couple of years. They got rid of a bunch of pieces, got draft picks, kept acquiring draft picks and young players, and now they're in a spot where, yeah, they're not very good. But they've got a lot of young talent, and they've got a lot of really good young talent. Taron Prince, John Collins, Trae Young. I mean, if you're not watching those guys, then I understand how maybe this seems kind of weird. But those are really phenomenal players who are going to be really good for a long time. And they had a couple more draft picks, and they've got like the Dallas pick next year, and they've got some more draft picks. So yeah, they're bad right now. But they're acquiring young talent, and in the next maybe 3 years, they're probably going to be a playoff team again. And they're going to have these studs on their team who are going to make them an interesting team in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And so, yeah, it sucks to reset, and there's a bit of a vomit in the back of your throat feeling for a couple of years there when you're watching your team just compete for top five lottery after top five lottery. But the goal of it is to build a contender from the ashes and from these young players and these really high draft picks, and to build your way up. And hopefully it takes less time than the 76ers, and you're looking at more of an Atlanta Hawks timeline versus a 76ers timeline. But at the end of the day, at least you're getting young talent, and you're bringing in these guys. And I'm not sure if that's the better route, because here's the problem is I'm not sure if that's the better route than trying and failing to get in the playoffs and being in that 10th seed for the next 5 years and trying your best to get free agents to move your way up to like 7 or 8 on the Western Conference scale. I'm not sure which is better. Both are awfully painful, but I know that the Timberwolves are probably not a playoff team right now. And that's probably with this roster, that might be the way it stays for the next 2 years.
Yeah, because there's two different directions we can go here, right? Like, if we're the Timberwolves GM, we look at the Trailblazers and we go, that could be us, right? Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, and, you know, 27, 28 years old. Wait a few years, 4 to 5 years, see how Towns and Wiggins are doing over the next 3-5 years. And they could possibly be what the Trailblazers are now, right? Two superstars. Or I guess one superstar and a borderline all-star / is an all-star. And then that's kind of what you have with Towns and Wiggins, right? And you kind of hope that the Timberwolves can build around those two players and that Towns can be what Lillard is to Portland, and they can lead them to be what Portland is now, which is the fourth seed in the Western Conference, only 4 games back from the Golden State Warriors, right? Or 5 games back now. So that's pretty crazy, considering Minnesota's 11th seed. And that's what Portland was a few years back, too. They were the 10th, 12th seed, right? Like, they were struggling to make the playoffs with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. There were a lot of offensive and defensive woes that they had playing together. They were trying to figure it out. They went through head coaching change, too. So that could be the future for Minnesota if they're looking forward. But if you also look a little bit lower on the Western standings, you see the LA Clippers. You see the Sacramento Kings. The Clippers, who I didn't bring up, traded Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, let DeAndre Jordan go. And they were building that team slowly but surely around Chris Paul's greatness with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. And it just did not work. And now look at them. They have none of those three players, which they had only a year and a half to 2 years ago. And they're above the Minnesota Timberwolves in the standings, Colton.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty crazy looking at that. And they've surrounded that team with just young talent, some gritty guys, and some guys who are middle-tier pay guys who are playing above their cap, and Tobias Harris and Danilo Gallinari. And that's the hope for Minnesota, is if they can either be Portland in the next 4 to 5 years, or they can be L.A. But if you ask – if you ask any NBA analyst what GM would they rather be right now, the LA Clippers or Portland Trail Blazers, even if you take the city out of it, if you look at the roster and what cap they can possibly grab this summer or next summer and the players that they have on their team right now, most GMs or most analysts are going to say they'd rather be a GM for the Los Angeles Clippers, even though they're the 8th seed right now, because of what they can do, the potential and the possibilities of what they can do.
You're absolutely right, and that's why these conversations are interesting and fascinating, and why you should think about it, even like we're saying, even if this isn't even like a real conversation that people are having, or a real discussion happening in actual trade circles for the next 2 years, it's a good thing to be thinking about, a good thing to have on the mind. It's fun to tinker and play with your team a little bit, and I think it gives you a better attitude when you're looking at your team versus just, no, these are our guys and we got to grind it out with them. We are running a little long on the podcast here. I appreciate everyone. If you stuck with us to this point, I appreciate you sticking with us. We've had a lot of fun doing this. I know Trey has had a lot of fun taking out the old trade machine and dusting it off. And we'll get back to previewing some games tomorrow and throughout this week, and we'll have more trade deadline stuff for sure coming out later this week as well, with the trade deadline ending on the 7th. So stay on the lookout for all that, and thank you so much for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.